प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Okay. Page 29. The five major rasas appear in different persons according to their rati. Right? So rati means their attraction. Right? So according to their attraction, then these five aspects of rasa then appear to them. Shanta rati makes Brahman and Paramatma the Vishaya in a state of peace. Right? So then you're appreciating. So you're appreciating Krishna's potency, or the quality itself, but not necessarily the quality in connection with Krishna as a person, you know, his power, his majesty, or you know, the peacefulness of something, or like that. You know, you go into the forest; it's so nice, or it's so peaceful. That quality—that's Brahman, right? That's the quality of the Brahman there. But but it's coming from a person, so. When you appreciate it either in itself or from the person, right, then you get Brahman and Paramatma. So that's the Vishaya. They're the enjoyer, you're the Ashray. So you're appreciating that, so you're seeing that in them. Because otherwise you go to the forest, there's so many qualities there, but you're appreciating this one or that one, or does that make sense? Yes, no? You know, this is for someone who is dealing on this shanta, because it means it's actually a relationship with the Lord, so they appreciate these aspects of it. In a more intense state, the Lord of Vaikuntha becomes the Vishaya. So then when you get to the Dasya Rati, accepts the Lord of Vaikuntha as Vishaya with admiration of the Lord's power. Right? So then when you accept him as the Lord and that power, yes?
In the first one you described, this is, they're appreciating it as part of the Lord's energy, but just not seeing it as personal.
They're not seeing the Bhagavan aspect,
okay, so they're
like
just
that.
Seeing the Brahman, but seeing the Brahman as Krishna's expansion.
Yeah, because they're shantaras, so they're situated in that, so they appreciate the qualities of God and that some aspect, but not in an active relationship. They're not going to do anything to reciprocate that other than appreciate.
Right? So, consciousness they have when they see Krishna, do they take it to Krishna like as Narayan, or do they not even take it to a deity form?
No, it can be a deity form, but it's just like you see a kid, you know, oh, it's a cute kid.
Oh, so they keep it just at that level?
Yeah, that's all. It's you're not interacting. It's a cute kid. You know, you're appreciating. So it's either as Brahman level or the Paramatma level. You know, so the Brahman is that they're seeing, means you have forms, but it's the Brahman that's appreciated, not necessarily the form of it. It's the that quality of it. Paramatma means it's the quality is coming attributed to a person. It's the Lord, but it's not the Lord of Vaikuntha. It's just the Lord who enters everything, expands there, is Paramatma. The Lord of Vaikuntha, then he has interaction with the devotees. So then service starts. So he says, when it's more intense, in a more intense state, then this happens. Yes.
Maharaj, could the Western religions like Christianity be put into this Shanta Rasa, or are they outside of all the rasas?
See, rasa here is we're dealing with what we're on the level that we're dealing with now. Then we're dealing in the five major rasas on the platform of rati, right? Like that, it hasn't brought it through to prema, because prema will be the last of the the Dasa Mool, right? So now we're just appreciating as Krishna as the form of rasa. Right? So then what is this rasa and how does this ashray and vishay work? Right? Because we've said Krishna is the ashray and the devotee is the vishay. I mean, Krishna is the vishay and the devotee is the ashray. So how does this subject and object work? So now it's being pointed out for the different rasas itself. See, in the world religions, what you're dealing with is not the five major rasas. You're dealing with the secondary rasas. So the rasa of fear. They fear God. Do you ever hear of them? I mean, a few of them talk about, you know, love for God and being with God. But generally, what is their inspiration? Do anything. It's out of fear. And many times when people talk about heaven, is God in the equation? I mean, you go there, but I mean, you're going to, what, you know, St. Peter will meet you there and see if you're qualified. Isn't it Peter that meets you? Huh? Yeah, Peter comes and checks you out. He's the, I think he's the GBC there, so he checks it out and see if you qualify. And if you are, you get inside, and if you're not, then he points the other direction, right? And then, you know, there's, you know, people there willing to accommodate, right? So then, but there's never a discussion about the relationship you're going to have with God. Even if you say love for God, but here is rati. So there's an attraction, there's an affection, but it's neutral. So they never even get to that. Because what are the qualities of God? He doesn't have any. So how would they even be on this level? You know what I'm saying? You might have individuals who have understood more and who've professed more, but most of the time they ended up having to, not talk about what their realizations were or be burnt at the stake. That was generally anybody who took it actually into rasa. Right? There were even some Christian saints who then talked about, you know, conjugal rasa, relationship with God. But, you know, generally most of these people are very quickly silenced by one method or another. You know what I'm saying? So it's not the reason. So technically, even on the platform of religion, you're not dealing with the inherent nature of this soul and God and all that, and the nature of the material world and how one functions here. So technically, you're not even on the platform of dharma. All these religions function on the platform of artha, which is upadharma, right? Sub-religion. So how does the social system work if you're not working on dharma? What makes it work?
Money.
Yes, okay, money. What else?
And kind of like power, that somebody is above others.
Power, okay. But that means, why do they need the power? To create discipline and order, right? So justice and all that, power and justice. There's a third thing that's necessary, which generally we would call the religious part.
Hmm?
No, karma's below.
Morals.
You understand? Be nice, be good, be honest, don't steal, don't speak bad, be good, be charitable, like that. So that's upadharma. This is all pranamoya. It's all extended sense gratification. So this is the platform that the religions function on. So they're functioning on upadharma. They're important aspects, but they're subservient or secondary rules to the primary rules, which are the inherent nature of a human being, inherent nature of the material world, inherent nature of the soul, inherent nature of God. How do things actually work? What are the God's laws on these? Is that they can't say, really. They just know. So since the rules on that would be too difficult, therefore you try to create the attitude. Right? Does that make sense? So the emphasis is then on the attitude. Be nice, be good, you know, don't be so attached, be more selfless. And so they're the same principles that we'll talk on, but we talk on them as things to assist the attitude that one would have when performing one's religious duties. Right? And the religious duty is based on what's the inherent nature of the individual. Because each individual, it'll be slightly different.
Yeah.
Right? This common point of developing your pure unalloyed love for God. But all these other qualities that are there, then those are subservient, they're secondary. They're there to purify and to support and uplift. Right? To see that the mood in which it's done, the consciousness is proper. Right? Because if you're going to have devotion to God, you have to have proper consciousness. So these things help with the consciousness. So like if you're forgiving, it's easier than if you're always angry. You know, it's easier to always be thinking of God. Does that make sense? Does that answer the question? Okay. Anything else? Okay. When the attraction becomes more intense, Krishna alone becomes the object in Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya Rati. Right? So then Krishna, you know, becomes the object of these other three. Because otherwise you only have the other two. Right? There may be these other rasas, like in Ram Lila, all the five rasas are there, but they're not open. Right? You can be in Shanta and Dasya. Right? But friendship, you know, and all these others, those are not really options. Does that make sense? Well, Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna, then in Dwarka he has friends, he has, you know, parents, he has wives, he has so many. Does that make sense? So all these open up. So Krishna alone becomes the Vishaya for the Madhurya, Vatsalya, and Shakya Rasa. Right? The Lord of Vaikuntha, he is the Vishaya for Dasya. It means Krishna can also be for these, all five. But it's just a matter of, so each one will include the last. So Vishnu is also the Lord of Shanta. It means you do have Shanta Bhaktas come to visit him in Vaikuntha, right? As evidenced by the four Kumaras. They came to see the Lord. Yeah, it's just, he's nice. You know, it's just they appreciate like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so now Lord Chaitanya, he says, by regularly rendering devotional service, one gradually becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When that attachment is intensified, it becomes love of God. The basic aspects of prema, when gradually increasing to different states, are affection, abhorrence, love attachment, further attachment, ecstasy, and great ecstasy. Sneha, man, pranay, raga, anuraga, bhava, mahabhava. The gradual development of love may be compared to different states of sugar. First there is the seed of the sugar cane, then sugar cane, then the juice is extracted from the cane. When this juice is boiled, it forms a liquid molasses, then a solid molasses, then sugar, candy, rock candy, and finally lozenges. All these stages combined are called sthayi bhava, or continuous love of Godhead and devotional service. In addition to these stages, there are vaibhava and anubhava. When the higher standard of ecstatic love is mixed with the symptoms of sattvika and vyabhichari, the devotee relishes the transcendental bliss of loving Krishna in a variety of nectarine tastes. The tastes are like a combination of yogurt, sugar candy, ghee, black pepper, and camphor, and are as palatable as sweet nectar. According to the devotee, attachment falls within the five categories of Shantarati, Dasyarati, Shakyarati, Vatsalyarati, and Madhuryarati. These five categories arise from the devotee's different attachments to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The transcendental mellows derived from devotional service are also of five varieties. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19, 177 to 183. Right, so he's then, you know, summarized all this, then Lord Chaitanya is given. So you have, as here is interesting, when attachment, by regularly rendering devotional service, right, so that's sadhana bhakti, right, on a regulated basis, one gradually becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhood. That will bring one to asakti, right? So that's what you can get by regularly rendering devotional service, right? Then one gradually becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When that attachment is intensified, it becomes love of God. So when attachment then, see, it's very clever how the words are used. When attachment is intensified, right, then that'll become love of God. So intensification then is the process of bhava bhakti, right, which then culminates in love of God. Just like regular rendering devotional service, you get asakti. So when asakti is intensified, that state is bhava, which brings you to prema. Right? Does that make sense? It's also known as right. So then in that, then from prema, then it continues on. Because those are two, then you get this affection, abhorrence, means you show affection, sneha, abhorrence, where you're upset, love attachment, further attachment, this deeper ecstasy and great ecstasy. So it just goes further and further and further. Yes. Yeah. You bring it down and it becomes more focused.
So the sugar is the substance there that they're boiling in devotion. It's service that's boiling down. What is it that becomes more intensified?
Intensified is the I would say is the affection itself and the experience gained from it. In other words, the love is deepening and the experience that is tasted is also deepening. Because prema, that's love, then sneha, then that's affection. So that becomes more intimate. So that also, the results of that would also, what you'd feel would be greater. Right? And then abhorrence, then one only finds that one gets upset when there is more attachment. When the affection is greater, then only there can be man. Does that make sense? If you don't know somebody, in a relationship, you don't get upset. But when you're dependent upon them and they're important to you, and then something doesn't happen, then you get upset. So it's deeper, right? Then love attachment then it becomes just that emotion of that. What's that? That would be pranaya. They're your life, right? It's just very, very, just that kind of appreciation. Doesn't mean the others aren't there. They're all tasted, but that's there. Then further attachment, then we have rag. So then, that just becomes, that attachment becomes very prominent. Then anurag. Okay. So it's just going deeper and deeper. The attachment is becoming more, so the symptoms that manifest are more profound, like that. So Mahabhava is the most profound of that. So depending upon these rasas also, I don't know if it'll be discussed here, but the Shakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, then they go to different degrees in this. Each one can only go up to a certain stage. Your Shakya is limited in how far it goes. Let's not say so much limited, let's say it's just its natural manifestation. Parental rasa is more intense, so it goes farther in this. And then the conjugal is the most intense, so it goes the farthest. So does that make sense? Those who desire to understand about rasa may study Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, south, west, and north parts, and its supplement, Ujjwala Nilamoni, under the guidance of a guru. These subjects are summarized in the teachings to Rupa and Sanata in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right. So in other words, the position of rasa, of bhakti and all that is given in the first ocean, right? That would be in the eastern ocean. Eastern Ocean, then the chapters, I think they're there. So then, that whole first ocean, that's giving, what is the concept, overall concept of devotion, its definition. Then it's giving, Vaidhi Sadhana, then Raganuga Sadhana, then Bhava Bhakti, then Prema, showing that. Then after that, then the whole definition of these five points. That's what takes up the whole rest of the Krishna's qualities. So then you start off with the vibhava. So you're becoming attracted to Krishna. You know, like that. So then what that is, so that will be described. So then all the different, these other oceans then describe all the aspects of these five. You know, the Staibhav, the Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvika Bhav, and Vyabhichari Bhav. So that's what those last three parts of the Pacific Ocean explain. Like that. Then Ujjvala Nilamani, it specifically deals with Ujjvala Rasa, deals with the conjugal Rasa. So it gives a little bit more detail. Like that. In this chapter, Krishna will be shown as the reservoir of all Rasa. Krishna has already been shown as the supreme entity in chapter 2. Krishna has also been shown to be the possessor of all powers. By examining verses written by Rupa Goswami, one will understand all about Krishna. So we've already established him as the supreme entity. Right? That's the first principle about Krishna. The second is he is the possessor of all powers. Right? Then the third is he is the ocean of rasa, or the reservoir of rasa. Or as Prabhupada gives, the reservoir of pleasure. Right? That was also... Bhaktivinoda Thakur used that once. Yes, that's a translation. Okay. Ontologically, there is no difference between Narayan and Krishna. However, the form of Krishna holds a special attraction due to the rasa, especially invoked by conjugal sentiments. This is nature of rasa. Okay, that's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Purva Vibhag, 32. Right, so in other words, it's saying technically there's no difference between Krishna and Narayan, but there's a difference in attraction due to rasa. Right, so therefore Narayan is the vishai for this worshipper affection in majesty. Right, while Krishna is the vishai for the intimate interactions. As we see right after prema is sneha, friendship. Right? So therefore we can say is that these others are within that area of prema, right? But when you go to the next step, then it's sneha, so it's the friendship rasa. Right? Then it goes into these other aspects. Right? Does that make sense? Yes? No? Okay. Though Brahman and Paramatma are particular realizations of the Absolute Truth, they are devoid of unique personal form, Swarup. Right? Unique personal form. Right? So the qualities of that, that means one may appreciate, you know, the beauty or something, but it's not taking it so much to a personal meaning, somebody who does things, you know, moves and interacts. Realization of the Lord's personal form, Bhagavan, is the perfection in God-realization. The Supreme Person appears in two forms. One is endowed with majesty and the other endowed with sweetness. The Shanta Ras available through Brahman or Paramatma realization is extremely meager. With realizations of the Lord's form in a majestic mood, Dasya, servitorship arises in the worshipper. The extreme difference between the great powers of the Lord and the minute qualities of the Jiva make reverence inevitable. But because of this state of reverence, the Jiva is barred from higher rasa. Therefore, by his mercy, the Lord reveals his real form as Krishna to the Jiva. You're catching all these small... There's so many. Yeah, all those, and also before. We had on the previous... Like on the last paragraph on 29, the supreme entity. Okay. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty, but love awakened by the sense of majesty does not satisfy me. One regards me as the Supreme Lord and himself as a subordinate. I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. That is my natural behavior. If one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. Mother sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, "What kind of big man are you? You and I are equal." If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. Taking these pure devotees with me, I shall descend and sport in various wonderful ways, unknown even in Vaikuntha. C.C. Adi Lila 4:17-27. So he's saying is that there's two forms. This Brahman, then Bhagavan, then therefore has two forms. Then that in majesty and that in sweetness. So in majesty, then that will then create the Dasya Ras, because the jiva is very small and the Lord is unlimitedly very big. Yes.
Maharaj, if one is worshipping the Lord in Sri Sampradaya, in great awe and reverence, is it possible that he can attain his swarup in Krishna Lila?
Why would he?
If that's his...
If I am taking an eggplant and I'm cutting it up, putting it in the pot and cooking it, when I finish, will it be a cauliflower? No, so then... But it will be a vegetable. You understand? So it will be love of God, it will be a connection, but they're cultivating a different rasa. That makes sense. Is that clear the problem?
I was thinking, like, if someone has his rasa of Krishna in some of the intimate moods, but he takes birth or somehow is connected with Sri Sampradaya.
So, I mean, this is a problem you run into daily or something? Or?
No, it's just...
it's one of the unlimited possibilities that possibly could be there by mathematical... logic, right? It's just like, you know, if someone was born, you know, their mother was Jewish and their father was Muslim, you know, but, you know, so by practicing, you know, those two religions, could they come to develop love for Krishna and Braja before they're 27 years old on Sunday in the morning before breakfast? After his bath. You know what I'm saying? So, like this, you can go on and on and on and on. The point is if you're doing one thing, why would it give you the result of something else? You know what I'm saying? If I'm cooking, I get the result of cooking. You know, if I'm cleaning, I get the result of cleaning. So if you're worshipping the Lord in on reverence as the Lord of Vaikuntha, why would that give you love for Krishna and Braj? You know what I'm saying? It's natural. See, there's not all these mystic things that maybe it could happen, but maybe that's called Syadbad. That's the philosophy of the Jains. Maybe it could be this, or maybe it could be that. Maybe actually we're walking around on our hands. But actually, people, by an etymological misunderstanding, call the feet hands and hands feet. Yeah. Maybe everything is actually in black and white, but I'm just projecting on it colors because I happen to like colors. You know what I'm saying? You can go on and on like this. This is how the Jains keep themselves busy. Does that make sense? So we want to avoid that. Is that why would it be a consideration? Real consideration is someone who is a Sri Vaishnava, practicing the Sri Vaishnava, they come in contact with the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but they're obligated to function within the Sri Vaishnava environment. Can they worship the deity with those sentiments of Krishna and Vrindavan, even though the form they're worshipping is that of Vaikunthapati, and attain Vrindavan? That would be a real question. You understand? That's yes. But the other is, if you're doing one thing, why, you know, if you're worshiping Varaha with the intent of, you know, developing, you know, affection for him, you'll go to the planet where Varaha is. Why would you go to Nrsimha's planet? You know what I'm saying? Because that's the mood. So it's all in the mood. It's not so much in the form of the deity. It's in the mood. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because the difference between Krishna and Narayan isn't really, there's no difference. He says that ontologically, there's no difference between Narayan and Krishna. So the difference is in rasa. Right? So you have, you adjust the rasa, you adjust the form. Because Krishna will reciprocate with you as you surrender to him. He says that is his nature. This is my natural behavior. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. That is my natural behavior. Is that okay? Yes.
Maharaj, how would you know how the Bhagavad, would they only build up the spiritual world, or would they build up the spiritual world?
Well, what's going to build up?
The five rasas you mentioned.
Build up means like making a house, or what do you mean by build up?
How do you say manifest?
Manifests. Yeah. Are they going to manifest where?
Would they manifest here with the Lord or only the spiritual world?
The point is, where's the Lord? The spiritual world, right? But where is the transcendentally situated jiva?
Could they manifest with the deity in the temple?
So the deity in the temple is situated where? Okay, that's a building that you can identify that's the one you go to. So you don't mix it up with somebody else's house and walk in on dinner or something. Right? So that's why it has the bigger, fancier, you can't mistake it for someone else's. Right?
Well, there's a quote by Bhaktisiddhanta. He says, the Lord is only worshipped when the curtains are open in the temple. With the Lord in the heart, you can worship 24 hours.
Yes.
So what's
the point?
Could you do a little wrestling with the Lord in the heart?
Yeah, well, what did that have to do with your previous one about the temple? And then the previous one about the spiritual world? So what is your question? How can you build up your rasas? He mentions it that previously here, that by regularly rendering devotional service, one gradually becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When that attachment is intensified, it becomes love of God. So by the performance of your sadhana bhakti, that's how you're going to develop it. So when you're in the temple, you're in the temple. When you're chanting, you're chanting. When otherwise, you're thinking of him in the heart, whatever works. The point is to always be in connection with Krishna. Always remember him, never forget him. Right? Where the deity is, that is always the spiritual world. So he's always there. The Lord's sitting in your heart, he's sitting in the spiritual world. You know? If you are at his lotus feet, you're also situated there. You're not, you're in the material world. You know what I'm saying? Material and spiritual is a platform of consciousness. You know what I'm saying? We're here, so therefore it has to be mundane. Because this is Krishna's energy, it's one of his potencies. So because it's his potency, and he is Sarva Shakti? The Shaktiman, but in the verse. Because it's Rasabdim, and then. So, this element of him, how do you say? So the material energy is his potency. So does that make Krishna mundane? Right? So, in other words, material is a consciousness. It's not a place. Same way spiritual is a consciousness, it's not a place. This is where we get ourselves in trouble when we try to get into really hair-splitting, you know, technical points, is we're trying to take spiritual and fit it into time and space, which is a material concept. And because of this, then we make mistakes. And as we discussed before, the position, the fall of the jiva, that's one of the, you know, the big times for this kind of mistake, because we have to demand that it be brought into the purview of time and space. But spiritual and material are consciousness. Right? You know what I'm saying? Prabhupada's looking at one thing, you know, he's situated spiritually. Someone else is looking at the same thing, they're situated materially. So you're going to say he's not in the material, spiritual world? Right? Wherever there's Krishna and there's his devotee, that's the spiritual world. But where there's people who don't recognize Krishna, that's the material world. Right? So on the same, you know, field of Vrindavan, you have Aristasura and you have the Brajavasis. So is that field the spiritual world or the material world? Which is it? Krishna's there. His devotees are there. It's Vrindavan. But there's this demon here who thinks, here's this punk kid that I'm going to kill. So it's that is the Tathasta Shakti. The Tathasta Shakti is the place where both of those energies are at the same time. So this potency, the chit potency, can reconcile all these differences. We maybe can't understand it, but that's not the definition. The definition is the inconceivable potencies can all be, contradictory potencies can all be reconciled by this one energy. So we may not like it, it may not sound logical to us, but so what? It's going on there. And then the demon comes up and touches Krishna, or Krishna touches the demon. Then what? You're still dealing with material and spiritual. Somebody's in the deity room offering artik, you know, he's thinking of the deity, he's on the transcendental platform. Someone else is thinking of, you know, did I lock the door, you know, then, you know, what about this and that, and so many things, and so where are they? They're in the spiritual world, but they're conscious of the material world, so where are they? Material world. So that's the whole thing. Everything's Brahman, so then where is the living entity? In the spiritual world and the material world. It's consciousness, because it's all Krishna's Brahman. You know what I'm saying? Not Brahma Jyoti, Brahman. Brahma Jyoti is an aspect of Brahman. Does that make sense? So this kind of vision, this is what is an aspect that by developing that, then one sees differently. That's the idea, is to how to see according to Shastra, not according to our senses. Right? In other words, the senses will pick up sense objects, but through those sense objects you can see Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Because that's everything that you see has come from Krishna. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay, so he's saying this is his natural behavior. I reciprocate. So it's his natural. This is how he behaves. As you surrender, he reciprocates. Does that make sense? Okay. So therefore, this majesty, it doesn't catch us. It means he reciprocates with that. But he doesn't become subservient to his love or controllable by his love. He reciprocates with it, but he's not controlled by it. He's not subservient to that love. But in friendship, parental and conjugal, he is. He becomes controlled by that. He becomes subservient too. Right? And he makes the points where, like that, I become subordinate. mother sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes and protects me, thinking she utterly helpless. Right? So he becomes subservient. He becomes controlled. Right? He doesn't have to eat, but he eats. Right? Then the friends. Right? Then they say, you know, they climb on his shoulders because, you know, there was a deal, and so then he lost. So then now they climb on his shoulders and say, you know, what kind of big guy are you? See, I won. You know, it's like, it's just part of the chivalry, you know, is a taste, is secondary rasa that'll be tasted in the primary rasa of friendship. Right? And then the gopis, then they're angry. They get upset. So just that sulky mood then steals the mind. Yes.
Is there also shelterness in Goloka Vrindavan?
Yeah, that's all your trees, cows, you know, bushes, animals, anything, they're all shantaras.
Their consciousness is that they see Krishna also as Brahman, or is Brahman?
No, the point is the Brahman here we have to understand is not Brahma Jyoti. Brahman is basically, the Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of Krishna's qualities. Right? So we just appreciate the qualities. That's neutral. Like you meet somebody and they were nice to you, and then afterwards you say, wow, he was nice. So you're appreciating, but where's the relationship? It's neutral. You're not going to do anything. You're just nice. He's a nice person. I like him. Right? But that's as far as the relationship is. You appreciate, you're nice, likely. Does that make sense? You know, some little interaction, you say hello, shake hands, but that's as far as it gets. Does that make sense? So here, when we talk about, when he says it's meager, that's we're talking already within an unlimited ocean. So meager there is not like meager here. So something very great. So therefore, it being so great, then you can understand what's the platform of Mahabhav. Right? It's something beyond. Does this make any sense?
And why does Prabhupada generally encourage the higher three or four?
Because you want to please Krishna, right? So what do you think of a statement? If one regards me as the Supreme Lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. Right? I mean, it sounds okay, because he is God. So why would he be subservient with control? If one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as a son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great and considering me as equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. Let us say, you have, you know, a Volkswagen, okay? Or you have same time as available as one of those kinds, AKG Mercedes. It looks like somebody stepped on it, you know? Like, they cost about $1.2 million, those ones. You know? Or the Volkswagen family car. You could get both, either one. Why would well, you know, what would be recommended? Does that make sense? You know, it's the Mercedes, the BMW, the Audi, you know, the Porsche, you know, or the Volkswagen. It's available, all of them are available, which you're going to take. Does that make sense? Okay. Hmm? seems they have the lock broke on the cage. Maybe there's something. The monsters are out. Oh, maybe because it's starting to get dark, so their power is increasing. Okay. It's the qualities, but it's not active. It's not dynamic. It's not, you appreciate the quality, therefore you want to interact with it. No, because in Vaikuntha, that's already Dasya Rasa. Shanta Rasa is also there. But they just appreciate his qualities, just like the Shanta Ras in Vrindavan.
And Brahman is also qualities.
Brahman means what everything's made out of. Everything Krishna is Brahman, the soul is Brahman, the spiritual world is Brahman, the true world is Brahman. Brahman is what everything's made out of. You understand here? That's why you have to be able to differentiate between Brahman being used as, you know, meaning it's Krishna's potency, you know, or it's in other words, it's what everything is made of, or when we say Brahman, meaning the Brahman platform of realization or the Brahma Jyoti, see, because we're used to using it generally like that, but all of these are used. Does that make sense? Yeah. So here we're talking about the Brahman platform of realization, right? Or then you're taking it to beyond. So here, when they say Brahman, then they're meaning, you know, just the qualities. It's just, you're not connecting it with the person in a way that you need to interact. You know what I'm saying? So it's just appreciation. Right? You appreciate, you know, a garden. But you don't have the idea you want to interact or do anything in that garden. You just appreciate it. It's a nice garden. You know, well designed, nice colors, nice balance. So like that, you could go on and on and on describing it. Therefore, the Shanta Ras Babas, bhaktas can go, you know, unlimitedly on describing Krishna's glories. Because they appreciate the glories. But it hasn't come to the intensity that they want to serve. You understand? So they just appreciate. Does that make any sense? Yeah? Okay, sorry.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just getting consulted first.